Good evening, everyone. This is Rachel Seller, the forensic nurse, exposing medical crime one misdiagnosis at a time. Today, I have a very special guest with me, my sister in Christ, Kay Sharamani, nurse practitioner and midwife from the United Kingdom. Welcome, my sister.
Hi, welcome. First of all, I just want to just say I'm not actually a midwife. I'm a registered nurse. I'm an independent nurse prescriber, and I'm a personal nutritionist. But my sister's a midwife. That's enough in the family.
So tonight, brothers and sisters across the nations, we're going to be addressing you with some very important issues in the medical community that you're not going to hear about on the mainstream news. So I'd like to address our troops across the nations in every country. I'd like to say that in order for you to be on the battlefield, it's very important to know who your enemy is. And right now we have a crisis. We have a vaccine injury crisis across the nations. People are being sick. Our rights are being stripped away. We need our troops home to protect us right now. There are fake wars going on around the world. And right now in our country, in the United States, their agenda is to strip away all medical and religious exemptions for vaccines. And I'm seeing vaccine injury and cancer and autoimmune disease plague our nation. So Sister Kay, can you give some insight on this over there?
Well, certainly when you have the service, the armed services, and they go into the armed services, then they're given lots of vaccines. And then these young men and women are going off fighting for queen and country, and they've been in Afghanistan and Iraq. And initially you saw this in the Gulf War, and they talked about Gulf War syndrome. And these guys come back, and obviously, you know, they've seen a lot of really traumatic events. And they have PTSD. Well, on top of that, a lot of them will talk about it's very difficult to then settle back into civilian life, because when they're together with all of their comrades, they have this big camaraderie. And then they're in situations where they're very driven with adrenaline. And as you know, adrenaline itself can be quite addictive, but they're coming home, and they have this PTSD. They're suffering from anxiety. They're suffering from depression. And no one actually talks about that this is to do with a lot of the vaccines. There was the talk when it was Gulf War syndrome and anthrax, but these guys are having lots of vaccines all at once. Some of these vaccines, when they were first given, weren't even tested properly. And I think you've actually talked about it. They'll have vaccines and they'll collapse. They get syncope, you can start fitting, which is all not normal. So then you've got all these heavy metals, as you know, settling in the gut, in the brain, which is going to have an effect. So then you know, a lot of these guys are then left in the system. They're on a lot of psychiatric drugs, which again will carry all of the side effects and the host of that. But no one's actually saying, well, let's take these men and women and let's start detoxing them. Let's address the reasons why. And I'm not, you know, I'm no way would I ever discount the PTSD from the trauma that they've actually been, they've had from the things they've seen and been involved in. You know, when I worked in the emergency room, every single, particularly young people, whenever I saw young people, their lives ended really traumatically. That stays with you. You never forget that. And when it's a child, you don't forget their face. So I'm not discounting that, but I'm talking about all of these vaccines, all of these chemicals that they've been exposed to out there. And we know those chemicals are prevalent because there's the spina bifida massively increased with all the depleted uranium in the soil in Iraq. So there you have all of the people in that country as well, but you have all of our service personnel coming home that have been exposed to chemicals, which, as you know, change the DNA. And then you're seeing birth defects. So no one's actually talking about all this. And this war continues for these guys and women when they come home.
So, yeah, I was telling you that I got off the phone with a mom today. She reached out to me from LinkedIn. Her son wants to be a fighter pilot. And I want to just say that that pilot, that jet, that multi-million dollar jet is paid for with our taxpayer dollars. That belongs to our people. It doesn't belong in fake wars. And you have to remember who you're working for. You're working for the government. The military boot camp is a testing ground for vaccines. And I remember signing waivers when I was in for pneumonia vaccine at the time. It was kind of like, I don't know, experimental, you want to call it. But the bottom line is, there is a documentary called Vaxxed. If you haven't seen it, please watch it. The second one has been released This is testimonies from around the world, from whistleblowers that worked at the CDC and doctors that are telling the catastrophe to cover up, they call it, with the Center for Disease Control. So now we have a suicide rate with the veterans, and I've even had testimony of a veteran that told me he had a brain-eating parasite that the government knew about. They were drinking out of the Euphrates, but also we have found evidence that there are organisms like brain-eating prions in the vaccines because they contain bovine serum, which is cow blood.
Yes. Yeah. And so all of these guys have, and women have come home, and they're battling all of these mental issues, and it's just being blamed on, you know, PTSD. But no one, I've never heard anyone say yet, well, look, let's take you away. Let's do a full detox program. Let's clean up your diet, take away all the toxins. I haven't heard that. And I've seen a lot of, and then these, it's, they're just left by the wayside and left to live with it. Everyone's, you know, talking about how they've gone through therapy and how they've come to terms with it. But actually, it's not just the service. It's not just these servicemen and women. This is everyone. This is, there's over 70 new vaccines being rolled out for the adult population. Over here now, we've had all the measles. Everyone's going to get measles and die. Everyone's going to be mandatory vaccinated now. And then we've had the flu. Everyone needs a flu vaccine. If you've not had the flu vaccine, you're carrying it and giving it to all those that have had it. And now the latest thing that's going around is now the Ebola.
Oh, yeah. So it's when, you know, it's important to acknowledge that not only is the Ebola vaccine being rolled out, it's there and it's here. Now, I'm glad you brought that up. So let's talk about religious and medical exemptions. This is an issue. And I will tell you that doctors, I know a doctor, a pediatrician from the 1980s, who wrote a book, and I can't say the name of the book, but it basically exposes all the corruption. And he said, I would be retired with a lot of money right now, but I could not continue vaccinating those kids. There's a medical board that's trying to take this doctor's license away because he's writing medical exemptions. And he will tell you that they're injured and that they have high risk for injury. And so the board wants to take his license away for that. I mean, really. So in the state of New York, this came out, this is a bill that says, if they suspect that you are contagious for an infectious organism during a state of emergency, or it's going to be deemed by the health department, and that's a bad thing. So the nurses and doctors that work there are very different from the nurses and doctors in my arena, NK's arena. So they can say that they can lock you up in a detention center if you are suspected to be contagious. When they start giving the Ebola vaccination, it will now spread Ebola virus.
I posted about that, but I was reading about that when they give the vaccine, it sheds. The vaccine itself will shed Ebola. It doesn't then stop you from getting it. So, and then all the side effects from it. And then I was also, I posted on my page about how much money has been spent on developing it. It was one of the posts, if you want to go on my timeline, Kate Shemarani, but there's been a lot of money generated from this.
Well, look at New York. They're saying that the state of New York is basically bought, that all of the people in government positions have been bought and paid for by pharma. And we know this is true because our court systems from 19 years ago till now have not changed. So when Shelley Hendricks came forward and was talking about how her son got vaccine injury 19 years ago, nothing's changed in the court. Okay, they know about it. They know vaccines cause autism. This is old news, all right? And vaccines cause autoimmune disease and cancer. So troops, wherever you are around the world, this is the truth that's being covered up by the mainstream media. Forget about watching the impeachment. This should show you how corrupt things really are. Imagine that level of corruption in the medical community. This is what's going on.
And over 70% of the advertising budget in mass media, that's all your newspapers or your TV, that all comes from pharmaceutical companies. Pharmaceutical companies pay script writers in TV programs and movies to incorporate where you'll have epidemic or you'll have, they've got cancer. It's all incorporated into it. And then you're very softly brainwashed. So for instance, with cancer, what, you know, whether anyone saying, well, we're going to get cancer from having certain vaccines like polio, you get lymphoma. As you know, the measles vaccine has immortalized cells in it, tumorigenic cells, which will then turn into cancer. And cancer in itself, when your body is so toxic and so deficient, it can no longer rally an immune response. And then that's when your immunity can't kill off these tumorigenic cells. And this is what we're seeing. What was 1963, 68, when the measles vaccine came in, and now in the UK, you have one in two have got cancer, and that's set to climb. That's everyone. Yeah. Everyone's going to get cancer. So if you're having all of pharma is funding, then pharma funds, you've got all the medical elites, all of the medical elites, they're all put in those positions by big pharma. They decide what gets into the magazines. They decide who gets into the best positions in the universities, in the medical schools. They decide what gets published.
That's the whole thing that I have an issue with. It's peer-reviewed journal, right? And if I wanted to be an expert witness in a court as a forensic nurse talking about vaccine injury, I have to be published in a peer-reviewed journal. You and your little buddies that got together and decided this is what will be. So this doctor was on LinkedIn the other day, and he was posting pro-vaccination posts about get your vaccine. And you know what? People came out of the woodworks and responded to him. And I said, look, he was referring to us as the herd, and we need to change the herd's mentality. And I go, how arrogant, okay? And then I said, you're part of the herd. But I said, the only difference between people over there in another country and here is that they have less money, and we have money to pay people like you to lie.
Yeah, and then when you have these medical elites who are deciding who gets the positions, what gets published, now you have a whole group of doctors and scientists who know that the evidence is there to prove what they're saying is wrong, but they cannot challenge it because they'll be discredited, they'll be struck off, they'll lose their mortgage, their house, their kids will be in school, they'll lose their livelihood, which is what we saw happen with Dr. Andrew Wakefield.
Yeah, look at Incurable Me. I was just talking about that book. I said, in Dr. Stoller's book, it exposes all the corruption. You know what? I know Dr. Stoller, and I asked him a question on professional networking. I said, how long have you known about this stuff? He said, since the 1980s. I said, do you have PTSD? He says, yes, I do. I said, because it must be very traumatic to be in a situation that you are, know the truth. And then not only that, but trying to be discredited and attacked with such petty science. It's not science. I don't subscribe to it because it's sorcery. The truth of the matter is it is sorcery. And so they're trying to sit here and, you know, teach nurses. I came out of school pushing a pill cart, okay? And I was like, this is ridiculous. You wanted me to learn all that stuff, and you want me to do your dirty work and poison everybody now? And then on top of it with the vaccines, so if they don't get you now when you're young, they'll get you in the nursing home, like I tell everyone, and it's Black Friday. And I remember I had a patient, and her older sister came to pick her up. She was about 40 years old. Her sister came to pick her up, take her for a flu shot, for a vaccine. I said, I just want to let you know about those vaccines, that they're not safe. I stopped her in the hall, and I almost stopped myself from saying anything. She looked at me, and she goes, why are you telling me this? It wasn't even 6 months later that that patient died.
Wow.
She died.
I said to a leading surgeon recently, I sent him something, and I said, you have to read this. And he said, oh, I don't trust that. So he was stating that he doesn't trust the very publications which he uses as evidence to back up his practice. So you can't choose and say, these publications are all these peer-reviewed studies, these count for A, but all of these peer-reviewed studies don't count for B. And of course, Dr. Alan Palmer, he wrote 1,200 studies, and it's all studies based on all vaccine injuries, 1,200 studies, and it's all been, he's compiled it all into a book. And how can you refute that when these are evidence-based papers from the very publications that they use to validate their own work? You can't pick and choose. And you know, I trained a little bit before you. I'm a little bit older. But I've seen a huge difference from when I trained to in 1984, when I first trained, to last year I went back to university to become an independent nurse prescriber. And I've seen a huge difference in even the way nurses talk and what they do. And again, we as nurses are health educators. Therefore, we should lead by example.
Yes.
So when I see nurses and they're overweight and they're out of shape and they're smoking and they're drinking and they're making poor food choices, then how can you be a health educator? That's like going to a car salesman who's driving a beat up truck full of garbage. You're not gonna take his opinion on what car to ride in, or you know, you have a carpenter who's made a really rubbish chair. You're not gonna take his opinion.
It's so funny you bring that up, because I didn't want to go there or say it, but when I was in nursing school, I remember the one being like that girl asking questions. I was her.
Oh, that's me.
They were like 400 pounds, and there was like three or four of them that were morbidly obese and would talk about their diabetes, and they would bring the donuts in the morning. And I would say, don't eat the donuts, okay? Don't be like them. You know, we need to be like, let's set, you know, raise the standard a little bit. And I don't mean disrespect, but sister, if you want to do nutrition, I'll help you. I'll help you for free. You can be my case study. But no, we're all too arrogant and prideful, you know, to help each other. So the vaccine insert, you know, even the medical professionals, you were telling me about the pharmacist in your community, and you were asking about the risks and the side effects. And I don't know if they said, what did they say? They didn't have time to read the insert. And even if they did, they don't understand what's written.
She said, when I was asking a pharmacist, she said, we don't have time to read that. And I said, if you don't read that to the patient, then in a court of law, that's medical battery.
So then what about the informed consent? Where are we at with that?
But then if you have, so let's say a patient receives a flu vaccine and they collapse and they suffer from Guillain-Barré and they end up in intensive care, and maybe the patient's wife was with them and that patient dies, because you can die from Guillain-Barré syndrome. Patient dies. And then the wife maybe goes away and she starts looking into it, doesn't understand why her fit and healthy partner's died. And she sees that this is a side effect. And then she says, well, we weren't told about that. So in a court of law, that wasn't true informed consent. Therefore, it is medical battery.
Yeah.
So the way, you know, the way they've got around it, I was looking through Public Health England's little green booklet. So now the big push is, it's about to be the rounds of the HPV vaccine. And all the girls are given a little leaflet. And it actually states in this little leaflet that, you know, there has been side effects, but none of them have really been proven in studies, which is a complete lie. And then the nursing staff are reading another small booklet, which is for the staff. Well, that's not the insert. If you read the insert and you research the vaccine yourself, which is as medical prescribers, or even if we're holding that loaded gun, we are accountable. So if I know that that is so dangerous, then I have a duty of care to advocate for my patient in their best interests.
That's right. And the other thing to point out is, if we could only say one thing, what you need to know is that it says right here, it is not tested for carcinogenic or mutagenic properties. That's cancer, mutating, mutant, so that your next generation could be born with a deformity. They don't know. So cancer, to me, is one of the most important things you need to know. Will the vaccine give you cancer? And it's likely.
Yes, and this is what you see now with some of the medical, the military personnel. They're having children when they come home that have deformities. So whenever I was reading something about a spina bifida in Iraq had massively increased, and that's because of what's left in the soil. So once that, you know, when you think as a woman, the eggs that you have inside you that are going to produce your children were inside your grandmother.
Wow.
So when you were inside your mother, when your mother was conceived shortly after conception, she would have had all of her eggs. So those eggs have been exposed to whatever the grandmother did, then the mother did. Now you're born with your eggs, and it's whatever you do till you have a child. And you know, this is all carrying on. And this is where you see this happening. And then on top of this, you have sterility. sterility in the UK, 3.5 million people are sterile, and that's increasing. And so, what does Hollywood do? Hollywood puts it in plain view. Everything that is going to come to fruition, they stick it in a movie. We all watch it. Oh, Hollywood. But you remember, I think it was called Children of God and The Handmaiden's Tale. No one can get pregnant anymore. Why? Why can't they get pregnant? Because infertility is rising.
So let me tell you about the microcephaly. Microcephaly is a term used by usually government organizations and publications to kind of just put a blanket word so that you don't know that a baby's born with a small head. It's a neural tube defect where they have a double cleft palate. So this whole backside is not formed. They'll call it something like Pierre Robin's sequence, which means what? So you'll go online, try to do all kinds of genetic research, and it won't get you anywhere other than the government papers that don't really tell you anything. So I started to suspect. I said, does mom have a virus? Like, if mom got infected with Toxoplasma gondii from a cat poop, which can happen, could that affect her baby? Maybe she has a cat. Maybe there's something in the drinking water. Maybe there's something in the air. But I said, well, maybe mom has a virus or mom had a vaccine history. But what I wanted to tell you was, since 2012, the state of Texas has been keeping track of rare birth defect called microcephaly. And the CDC is trying to say that these babies are born with small heads and neural tube defects, cleft palate, because of a mosquito that bit the mom. This is the narrative, okay, the story. And I'm like, no, I don't think so. I said, some kind of cover-up is going on because I recently...
They were all vaccinated.
I recently got a report of a baby being born in Texas with this birth defect, okay? So I did some research and I said, they've been tracking this since 2012. And there's some kind of cover-up going because if you come around Zika and the mosquito story and the pregnant mom, I said, anything they say, I don't believe. And I'm talking about the CDC, okay, because they're criminals. And so anyway, so we have that going on, and then now the Ebola vaccine thing rolling out. So I don't know about you, but I would say that I don't trust my government.
No. I don't, you know, I only look at the local newspapers to see what everyone else is reading and believing. That's all I do.
So what do we do? But
what I will say is, when we do these videos, what I notice about people is there's a lot of fear out there, and you've got to remember that this is what happens in beautiful synchronicity every time. The problem is created, and that problem is going to be infused with as much fear as possible so that your reaction is so great, and then when they come along with the solution, you will accept it without question.
Oh, girl, you know what? And it took me a long time to get to this point, as I'm sure it did with you, because how does a nurse report a crime when there's no one to report it to? Because all of the organizations are corrupt. That was kind of my revelation over the last year, where I decided that I was going to go out and speak the truth. And I'm willing to lay my life down for my cause, okay?
Well, I believe that in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, you're not going to lay your life down.
Well, the thing is that you know how many people have come to you and said, don't be careful what you say. They'll come after you, the deep state. If every person said that to me and I got 1,000 messages like that, I would be paralyzed. So we need unity in the community and we need to speak the truth. So we need to be bold in the spirit.
Yeah, what I see is, you know, there was a model that we were trained in when I was trained in the 80s called Becker's Health Belief Model. And it took for me to get cancer and turn down, as you know, chemotherapy, radiotherapy, and do my own thing, Gerson therapy. And I'm alive and well today, 8 years on. But I revisited this Becker's health belief model. And again, it was that the patient must deem the risk so great that they accept all treatment without question. Well, if you look at that in the mirror, you reverse that round and you'll see that. So this is what you see on mainstream media. They've made cancer into the biggest industry ever. It generates the most money. I think something like Pfizer made $600 billion profit. So they've got the solution. So by vaccinating everyone with these tumorigenic cells, these immortal cell lines, they know that in the future, they don't need to worry about going bust their business. It used to be that In life, you would always be assured a job in death and taxes. If you were an undertaker or you were an accountant, tax, you'd always have a job. Well, now if you're in a pharmaceutical company making oncology drugs, you don't have to worry because you've got a whole new brigade of customers coming right around the corner that were vaccinated with measles because you know that that rate is going up. They're going to also get cancer. So you're guaranteed. And all of these, so there again, what they've got is, there's the problem. We're all so toxic and so deficient that now we've got all these tumorigenic cells, all this 5G, everything that's coming in, and then we're going to get cancer.
You know,
so when they want us to accept it all because they show us on mass media, on soap operas, on movies. We see these people getting cancer and being bald, being sick, then getting well, and then living their life. Well, first of all, you know this. Bald isn't cancer. Bald is from having mustard gas pumped into your veins. That's got nothing to do with cancer.
You know, I want to say something real quick about cancer testing, and there's a big scam out there. Let me show you something real quick in my closet. I've been meaning to bring this up in a video. This is a colon cancer screening kit, DNA harvesting crap. Patient went to the doctor and asked if he could have some headache medicine. The doctor was like, no, but I'll sell you a colon cancer test. So they came home with that. And I said, this is the most ridiculous thing. There is a lab out there in New Jersey. There's only one that I know of that does a Nagalase level. Nagalase level is a non-specific cancer marker. Do not go and give your DNA to creepy scientists to play with it and sequence it in a lab. You can go get a Nagalase level drawn, and it's non-selective, so you will know if you have cancer. Don't fall into any of these cancer testing scams, and I want you to follow Natural News, naturalnews.com, and what else, Kay?
Yeah, so what's happening is now it's this big industry, so now everyone's terrified they're going to get cancer, which I'm always a little bit entertained by, because if you have one in two getting cancer and that's rising, there's no need to be terrified. You can be absolutely certain that you're going to get it. So it's kind of crazy for me. So everyone is so frightened. That's the first thing. They instill all this fear. So the problem is you're getting cancer. The reaction is you're really sick. And now they have the solution. And if you look at all of these charities and everything, they never, ever, ever talk about you dying of old age or being completely cancer-free and cured. They talk about living and living well. I actually wrote to a charity. What does that mean? If you're diagnosed, you'll live and live well. Live for how long? 2 years? 5 years? 7 years? 10 years? Will you die a hideous death because your immune system's been wiped out with all these chemicals? Or will you die of old age? No one's saying that. So it's all elusive. And then what really, you know, when you look at autism rates are going up. So if you think about this, you know, in the UK, you pay your national insurance and it pays all your NHS. If everybody's getting cancer and then you have, what is it, one in four will have autism, who's actually going to be well to go to work, to fund all of this, and to look after everyone who's got it?
You know, the funny thing is, the most important thing I want people to know is if you go to a doctor, you're likely going to be treated for the wrong thing, the wrong reason, the wrong drug, because your doctor, if your doctor isn't doing the testing that's offered on Great Plains Laboratory, you can go check them, their site out. You can read about Roundup. You can read about mold. Okay. And you can also read about heavy metal toxicity. So Great Plains Laboratory is kind of, I would say, the gold standard. Your insurance will not pay for that stuff. So before you, the most dangerous thing I see people doing is that they have the freedom to go out and pick whatever doctor they want with whatever health problem. And I don't mean to be disrespectful, but I say stay away from some doctors because they'll murder you. And they will. It's called death by medicine. But I was going to ask you if I could show a funny clip really quick about the Ebola vaccine. I want you to watch this, see if you can see it.
You're going to get your Ebola vaccine.
I saw that.
Our lives again. The anti-propaganda machine is here. The forensic nurse.
All right. Ebola vaccine.
I posted about Ebola, about, you know, the vaccine, how much money has been rolled into it. I actually picked out parts about how, you know, it sheds this vaccine, it's going to give everybody else. So I actually said, if you haven't got Ebola now, the minute they vaccinate your neighbor, you will have. Honestly. And people got really scared. And this is what, there's nothing to fear but fear itself. Yeah, this is what they want. They want you to be so fearful that you accept all of it without question. And really, folks, you have choices. If you...
Everyone believes our lies again, Ebola.
Yeah. So, you know, really, you have to go right back to basics and you have to make good food choices. You have to limit the amount of toxins that your body is going to be exposed to. Pick your poison carefully. And, you know, the biggest one, as you know, fluoride. When you mix fluoride with BPA, it expresses over 138 genes.
Oh, so did you know about the aluminum thing? It increases the aluminum uptake.
It does, yeah. And then when you've had all this fluoride, as you get older and you start to, your bones start to break down, all of this fluoride's in there, you get poisoned all over again. Ooh. So, and I hear people going, you know, I say to people, get a distiller. If you're out and about on your travels, take a zero water cup. And when I say get a distiller, they go, oh, it's expensive. But then they sit with their iPhone that they're paying, you know, maybe 50, 60 pounds a month, but they won't buy my distiller that I have running at the moment is 7 years old. I have three and I rotate them. But it's all about taking responsibility, and people are looking to their government to protect them. If your government is sanctioning and signing for you to have fluoride in your water, to lift all of your medical and religious exemptions so they can inject you with poisons that if they don't kill you today, they're going to maim you and kill you slowly as you go along. If your government is allowing glyphosate to be pumped all over school fields, to be pumped on crops, they spray the crops with pesticides, herbicides, fungicides, glyphosate before they harvest it so that the crops fall and it doesn't make the blades blunt when they're harvesting it. If your government is allowing all this, do you really want to trust them with your health? Well, I wouldn't believe any of it.
The 5G, okay, this is like a whole nother level. This 5G is rolling out everywhere. I live in a city, there's towers and there's daycares below the cell phone towers. One of the first assessment questions I ask is, when was your last vaccine and do you live by cell towers and power lines, but also water? But there's no restrictions on them. But the high school in Clearwater, Florida has a big tower. There's one above a daycare across the mall that I live. And, you know, then I've heard about the LED light post. So this guy, there's a video on YouTube and I'll post it. I'll figure out a way to post it. He exposed the inside of the light poles and, you know, like outside. And I was like, no way. But bigger than that is all the pharmaceutical drugs in your water. Your water report, wherever you live in whatever zip code, will be posted by the city, but they're not testing for the things that really matter. And there is radioactive isotopes. Look at your water. And if anybody knew what was really in it, they would be freaking out right now, to be honest with you.
Because yeah, and I think, you know, like in the UK, Sheffield was a green city, and they started to chop all the trees down because, of course, the 5G won't go through the trees. So they're going to have every so many feet, there's going to be the thing for 5G. Then you've got them above as well, all the satellites. But I think for everybody sits there and they think they can't do anything. But actually, the problem reaction, you don't have to take their solution. There are solutions. If you've been vaccinated, there are ways to heavy metal detox. There are ways to repair your body. I spent all summer interviewing people who were terminally ill with cancer, sent home to die, and they're all alive and well today. And some of them many, many years later. Carlo Helvey, he's just died, an amazing nurse, an amazing colleague, diagnosed in his 40s with incurable lung cancer. And he lived till I believe he was in his late 80s or early 90s. Mm-hmm. So you can take responsibility for your health and don't go looking on government websites. If you're in the UK watching this, the minute you start looking on Public Health England and you start looking on NHS websites, I was reading yesterday, they were slamming Gerson therapy. I just interviewed a guy who was told, immunotherapy, chemotherapy, or death. He said, I'm not going to take any of those. I'm going to do the Gerson therapy. He's over 2 years and asymptomatic. Back cycling, all his symptoms have gone. And he's about to go and have scans. So, you know, there are ways that you can help yourself. And you've just got to go back to basics. Start with your water. Start with what's directly around you. Start with detoxing. Start with looking at what your kids are doing, what your kids are exposed to. Think about, you know, even moving houses. You've got to think about what is around you, even geopathic stress.
Yeah.
And it just takes a little bit of time to do it. And remember, while ever there's some big event, some big terrorist event or something, or even the fact in the UK, they've got Love Island on twice a year now, wherever they're letting you look in this direction, it's because they're shafting you in this direction.
Yes, and that's the impeachment right now. And I would say the 5G and vaccine rollout, because so if let's say you got hit with a bioweapon tomorrow, you need to start growing oregano. You need to start growing garlic and increase your sulfur. You need to grow ginger. It's very easy to grow in buckets, like survival stuff from like really like survival. So if you guys are in UK, my sister Kay Sharmani will be happy to be your one of the most sophisticated providers, I would say, in the nation. And I'm so happy just to be united with her. I hope to do so much more together in revealing the truth. You know, the soldiers, I'm speaking to you, brothers and sisters in the United Kingdom. Please hear this message. It is going across the whole nation. I mean, this is corruption happening all at once everywhere. So the truth is out and we need you.
Yeah. And you know, I have got some service people contacting me more and more. If you're in the UK and you've had all these vaccines, and you've been, you know, doing your job, and you're now suffering from anxiety and depression and PTSD, you know, get in touch with me. Let's sort out a detox program, a nutrition program, and not just, you know, slowing the mind down and meditation, which of course is great, but cleaning up your entire environment and get you back to where you need to be. Because make no bones about it, fluoride is a massive neurotoxin. It's going to really affect your brain. So is chlorine.
And your thyroid. So when you're all iodine deficient, those receptor sites are open. And what happens is fluoride and bromine get stuck in there. Tell us where we can find you, sister.
Well, I'm on Facebook. I'm also kateshamarani@gmail.com. You can find me, Natural Nurse in a Toxic World. I do have a new website, which will be up and ready by April. I've been working really hard on it, but I've got a little YouTube channel. It's raw, but you know, get on there. I try and do really short videos and make it really easy. So I pick out all the facts, put it in layman terms. Yes. Problem, reaction, solution. What's your problem? How's your body reacted to it? What's the solution? Because it's okay, all of us talking, you know, simple things about everyone. I see kids with their iPhones, nurses carrying their iPhones in the pockets, they get breast tumors. Laptops, you know, they're getting tumors in the abdomen. Sitting with them in their back pockets, they're getting tumors in their kidneys. It actually, if you go into settings and into about on your iPhone and you scroll down, there's a legal disclaimer in there telling you it should not even be on your body. And Steve Jobs never let his kids have an iPhone. But I see people giving them to babies and toddlers. You know, you have to go back.
The babysitter.
Mm-hmm. Strip it all away and look at, you know, look at, well, it's really interesting. I always laugh when there's any little flake of snow hits the UK. Everybody runs to the supermarket to buy milk and bread, which is hysterical. I'm not sure why milk and bread. But, even milk, you know, milk now. I'm waiting to interview a cardiologist. A1, A2 milk. A1 milk, one of the amino acids in it is beta casomorphin 7. That's what's in all your formula milk. That's morphine. It depresses the respiratory center of the brain. And what do we find? Bottle-fed babies are more prevalent to die of cot death.
Because say that again. What was that? Beta casein.
Beta casein morphine 7. It's an amino acid. It's found in A1 milk. And this is what your formula milk is. And bottle fed babies, we know that bottle fed babies, babies that have been recently vaccinated, are more likely to die of cot death. So if you're giving your baby beta casein morphine 7 in the milk, the formula milk, and then your baby's been vaccinated, so it now has holes in its gut, shrapnel in its abdomen. Yeah. And then you're giving them this formula milk with the beta casein morphine in it, which is going straight through the gut wall, unprocessed into the bloodstream. Now you have an opiate. Beta casein morphine 7. Morphine is an opiate. Morphine depresses the respiratory center of your brain. That's how it works. So, you know, these are also to consider. We were given breasts to feed our babies till they're 2 years old. Now, okay, if you go to work and you can't feed your baby all day long, you can feed it first thing in the morning, and when you come home, you can express. But that baby has no immunity. It gets the immunity over the placenta. Then it gets the immunity in the breast milk. It doesn't have immunity till it's two. You can't inject that immunity into it. Mm-hmm. That baby gets the immunity from the mummy's antibodies, from coming into contact constantly. So we have to go back to looking at what's happening, and we talk about our lives being so busy now. We haven't got time for this. We haven't got time for that. We have washing machines. We don't have to stand and do all our washing on a Friday. We have tumble dryers. We have irons. We have cars. We have more time now than we've ever had. But we're all sat on our asses watching the idiot's lantern, the TV, believing everything that comes out of it. Mm-hmm. And subliminal messaging. This is what product placement is on TVs. You see enough, you want it. So we're being, from the minute we wake up, we're being brainwashed. Yeah, every angle.
A doctor I know calls it the zombie apocalypse, guys. And don't forget about your pets. Autoimmune disease and cancer in pets is the same reflection. And you can go to see Dr. Michael Dim's video on my YouTube. So, guys, we're going to wrap it up. We thank you so much for listening. Thank you, Sister Kay. My name is Rachel Steller. I'm the forensic nurse. And with me today, I have Kate Sheremani, S-H-E. R-M-I-R-A-N-I, Kate Sheremani.
Shemirani.
Shemirani, forgive me. It's a long one. Find us on YouTube, guys, and subscribe. And we also need to look at backup channels. If any one of you wants to host our educational videos on your websites, hey, give us a shout out. Talk to you later, guys. Signing off.
Thank you.